Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Today I want to talk a little bit about this series that you're in, Hymn for Him. And I want to look at the hymn entitled Blessed Assurance. The history of this is that Blessed Assurance was composed of two prolific Christian hymn writers in history. The lyrics come from a woman with over 8,000 hymns to her credit. And the music from an organ of a lady of 5,000 hymns to her credit. And one day, this woman by the name of Fanny Crosby was visiting her friend, Phoebe Knapp. She played to a tune for Fanny Crosby as she was visiting her. She played for her this tune, and she said, "Fanny, as I play this, Fanny, what is it that you hear?" She began to play, and her reply was simple: "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." This hymn is still being played in thousands and thousands of churches, but many don't know that Fanny was blind, and the impact on her Christian work or Christian hymns was tremendous. She once described how her blindness affected her songs. She says, "I verily believe that God intended that I should live out my days in physical darkness so that I might be better prepared to sing His praise and lead others from spiritual darkness into His eternal light. With sight, I would have been too distracted to have written thousands of hymns. Without Fanny's faith and Phoebe's organ, songs such as Blessed Assurance would have not ever been written." She based this Blessed Assurance on the scripture verse that is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart," or a sincere heart, "in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Father, we thank You for the ministry of Your word. And Lord, we pray, O God, that the power of Your Holy Spirit will come and rest upon us here at Marlton Assembly of God. We pray, Lord God, that we will sense Your presence like never before. Lord, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Lord, blessed is one day in Your courts than a thousand place elsewhere. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to focus our attention this morning on this blessed assurance that we have. You say, where does this blessed assurance come from? And we're going to look to that this morning. You know, the Apostle Paul, one of my favorite writers in all of Scripture, writes his blessed assurance so powerfully in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. Let's look at these words together. The Bible says, Paul says, and he will always write this way, whoever he's writing or to whomever he's writing to, and we'll look at this, he goes, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven." Time out. Say time out. I play sports. I love when they call time out. Pause just for a moment. Do you know that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, my word. That we have a house in heaven. God said it is waiting. Jesus has prepared it for you. Paul is saying, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, before we get there, he goes, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. The Bible says elsewhere that all of creation is awaiting the Savior's return. The Bible goes on to say, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Verse number 4. It's okay. Let's skip over to verse 4. For while we were in this tent, he could be talking about the body, which we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We do know that after we get out of here, that we're going to get our glorified bodies. Come on, somebody. We're going to be able to fly. It's going to be so much fun. Let me tell you, this is my youth section. What's up, buddy? I would always dream about flying. Like when that song came out, I believe I can fly. Right? Remember that song? You too young for that. I believe I can just the sky. Like, I would dream that I would fly, but I can never hit the landing. So I would kind of wake up. That's just a side testimony. Let's keep it going. He goes, no, we don't wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal is swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, that is a guaranteed deposit of what's to come. He goes on to say, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. He goes on to say, for we live by faith and not by sight. He goes, we are confident, I say, and I would prefer to be away from the body, because if I'm away from the body, I'm with the Lord. So we make it our goal, because Paul said, being that we're going to see him soon, I got to please him now. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The question that I want to propose to you today is, who gives you this blessed assurance? How many of you know that when you know that you know that you know this relationship with Jesus that you have, it gives you this assurance that motivates you to live out the purpose on why God created you? Fanny Crosby, we look back at what she said again, I verily believe that God intended that I should live my days in physical darkness so that I might be better prepared to sing his praise and to lead others from spiritual darkness into eternal life. Now watch it. Do you know that when God uses you, it's not about you? I was over in Africa, and we were, you know, walking with the lions and stuff. Kid from the projects, we don't walk with lions. We were in Africa, so I got a little crazy. They gave me a stick about this big. Lions, I'm talking. We're walking and they're saying, listen, there's a couple things you don't do when you get the lions. They said, you know, don't bend down, don't get lost, don't get away from the pack. So I'm just, you don't got to kind of tell me twice. So I'm kind of there and I'm doing services. God is moving. And I remember getting to a place and I'm about to preach God's word. This is no joke. Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, Africa. At any moment, the preacher said the lights can go off. The power can go off. I'm thinking, this is great. During the middle of the service, the light starts dangling. It's like dangling, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, please, like, don't go out. You don't go out. You don't go out. As soon as they call me up to preach, the lights go out. Oh, my word. You never saw darkness until you go to Africa. And so Pastor Greg Hubbard, looks over to me and goes, I hope you got that sermon memorized. I said, well, I really don't, but show got to go on. I thought the lights are out. People going to go home. No, they start. No. I'm going, we're not going nowhere. So I got to preach. So I'm up here. I'm preaching. Greg Hubbard takes the only light in all of Africa, and he does me a favor, and he shines it on me. Every bug in Africa was upon me. I'm talking to every bug. It was on my neck. I'm thinking, I was moving. I was like, they thought I was filled with the Spirit. No, I was filled with fear in the name of Jesus. The thing was coming. Sorry, Miriam. I hope you got that story. Thing was hitting me. I give this altar call. Now, I'll be honest with you. It's dark. I'm in Africa, and I'm ready to go home. Okay, I say, if you want to come to Jesus, give your heart to Jesus. Now there's no lights. I'm talking, you can't even see your hand. And boom, the altar call comes. It hits. Boom, the moment they get to the altar call, you know what happened, right? The lights came on. The lights shoots on. I'm talking tears the size of crocodiles are coming down these young people's faces. The one girl sits here and talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what God did through that message. And God spoke to me. He spoke to me. He said, listen, it's not about you. I don't want people to see you. I want people to see the God in you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When you have this blessed assurance, you say, God, use me. Literally, you understand that it's not about you. Fanny caught this, and it reminds me of a scripture verse that Paul says. I don't know about you, but I don't like being around complaining believers. You say, why do I go through what I go through? Fanny will tell you. Here's what she would say. Fanny would say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, she would say, because I know that in all things God is still working. And God is working for the good of those, not everybody, but for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Listen to me. In other words, does your purpose in life match up with your passion in life? When your purpose matches up with your passion, watch this. When your purpose matches up with your passion, you will not live a boring life. Oftentimes, people get stuck doing things that they were not called to do. And I'm talking when Monday morning come around, I say, Lord, let me at them. Because watch it, when I want to live out my days and my passion and my purpose so that every day I wake up, I'm saying, God, what do you have for me next? Some of us, most people in America, they get up and say, oh, is it Monday already? Do you like what you do? Don't answer that. Your boss might be here. Paul says, for we know, watch Paul's blessed assurance. He goes, this earthly tent we live in is going to be destroyed, so therefore I know that I have a building from God. Paul's blessed assurance stemmed from a living hope that one day we're going to see Jesus face to face. In other words, Paul had something to look forward to. This is huge. As believers, when Jesus comes in to your life, do you know that your life changed? Watch this. I'm getting excited, Pastor Liz. I should tell when a person is saved. Wait now. You don't have to be outgoing. You can be an introvert or you can be an extrovert. I don't think that, no, when Jesus saves you, I don't care whether you're an introvert, extrovert, or whatever vert. I can tell when a person has been touched by Jesus. Watch what Paul says. Paul says, watch, hit that next scripture verse there. He goes, therefore, no, hit that next one. Yep, I love you, I love you, I love you. Watch it, he says. He goes, nope, next one. Mm-hmm. There it is. For Christ, why do you do what you do? For Christ's love compels me. Because, here it is, we are convinced. Now wait, there are a lot of believers, but believers have not yet become convinced of what they believe in. So we get a lot of people that are saved but not transformed. We get people that are saved. Jesus, come into my life so that I can keep doing what I'm doing. Jesus, come into my life so that you can bless my finances, but don't talk about my relationships. Paul says, hey, when I ask Jesus to come in, I am convinced of what I believe in, therefore I am compelled to reach out. He goes, that one died, now watch this theology. Paul believed that one died for all. Therefore, when you put your faith in him, you are buried in him. This is some powerful stuff. Watch. So that when you come to Jesus, you realize that it is no longer you that is living anymore. Christ has taken over the membership of your body. Watch. Christ renews your heart, but do you allow him to transform your mind? I see it happen over and over and over again. I see individuals with a renewed heart, but not a transformed mind. And eventually, without a transformed mind, you'll be going back to what he brought you out of. Eventually. He said, and he died for all that those who live, watch this, here it is, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. In other words, listen to me, he had his mind made up of what Christ did for him. What the devil can't come against is not only a born-again believer, but when a believer knows that he's been born again. I've got my mind made up that I will serve Jesus with all of my heart. Talk about a blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. When you find out what motivates you, and you find out what gives you this blessed assurance, you understand that the things will never, ever go as you planned it. Just because you are saved, just because you are convinced, doesn't mean that you are exempt from problems. Yes, a purpose, having a blessed assurance, it motivates you forward, but I believe that as fast as you go forward is as quickly as things start coming at you. Why? To knock you off the plan and the purpose that God has for you. But if your mind is made up. Hey. What's your name, man? Sam, I appreciate you. Forgive me, bro. Just forgive me. But when your mind has been made up, you can say, regardless of what I go through, regardless of the challenges that I face, watch Paul. Paul was crazy. Watch Paul. He goes, read up on Paul. Shipwrecked 3 times, stoned almost to death. He goes back into the city that once stoned him. Beaten. Paul says, let me help you how I interpret this. He said, yeah, it's hard, but I'm not crushed. In other words, there's still a heartbeat inside of me. He goes on to say, perplexed, confused, but yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but I'm not destroyed. Watch what he tells Satan, you little punk. He says, for our light, watch this. Paul was not a glutton for punishment. He wasn't just saying, you know what, just beat me. Paul would have been nuts for that. Paul realized that someday this is going to come to an end. And he called it momentary troubles. You know, whenever you're facing something in life, you feel like you're the only one? Huh? You're not. You are not the only one. People just don't like to say whenever they're going through stuff because they think that that represents their Christianity. Yeah. All believers who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. Now watch what Paul says. Paul says, the trouble that I am facing is achieving. What in the world? Paul, you crazy. Paul says, what I'm going through is not greater than what I'm going to receive. What? Paul says, yeah, devil, what you meant for evil, God's going to turn it around. God is taking what is happening to me, and he's saying, I'm building you. Because you got to go through what you need to go through to get you where you need to go. Me too. We don't like the process. We like the finished product. But God said, I'm doing something in the process that will get you to where you need to go. Because when you finally get there, you'll realize that it wasn't about you. Oh, we preaching. Paul says, I love what he says. Let's try to break this down, okay? He goes, it is achieving for us an eternal glory, watch this, that far outweighs. What is Paul talking about? Paul says, you can't even measure the glory with the temporary. The Bible says, what's your name, man? Max, you're so cool, man. It says, what's it? I believe it's the same context. As far as the east is from the west, so far you can't measure it. Paul says, what I'm going through right now compared to where I'm going, you can't measure. You can't measure. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. They looked at each other. How does Paul do this? This is crazy that I'm talking like this. Paul says, I fix my eyes. Whoa. You ever like a girl? I'm talking to my youth group. You ever like a girl? Right? You fix your eyes on her. Lunchtime. How do you see her again? Third period. Second period. You're like, hey, there she goes again. Maybe it's the will of God. It's not the will of God, man. It's the will of your emotions, okay? And you're just like, one time you're like, whoa, hey, wow, she's looking good, she's pretty. And then you start locking in. When you locked in, she could be in the front of the class. You're fixed. You watch it. When you're fixed on something, you don't care about nothing else. And when you come home to your parents and go, what did the teacher talk about? All that's going through your head is boo-doo-doo. You hear nothing. Watch it. Because when your eyes is fixed on something, you don't care about pleasing nothing else. Paul says, watch this. Watch the eyes. The eyes are so important. What has your focus has you. Has your focus. Watch. So when a problem comes, you make the decision for the problem to be bigger than your God. You make that decision. It will come. How I see the problem and how you see the problem, that's the difference maker. Because when problems come, they try to overshadow God. But I serve a God that overshadows them all. That God, no matter what, come on, church. Paul says, here's why. Everything that I see is temporary. Everything. Paul had this, such a view of this, you have to ask yourself, is the trial I'm facing greater than the reward later? In comparison, it's not worth giving up. It's not worth throwing in the towel. Oh, what gives us this blessed assurance is this blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. He's mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. I am born of his spirit. I am washed in his blood. The Apostle Paul's blessed assurance was fueled by what we call the three M's. You can write this down. We're going to look at the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation, and the method of reconciliation. You're going to see how all these was operating in the Apostle Paul's life. Watch this. The ministry may change. The message does not change. But the method in which we do it may change, but it all must be about reconciliation. Now watch this, I love this. Reconciliation is simple. It's the ending of a conflict or renewing of a friendly relationship. You know that song, I am a friend of God. That's the Carlton. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Do we realize what we're talking about there? In order for you to become a friend of God, somebody had to do something on your behalf that was bigger than you. Reconciliation doesn't just happen. It's an ending of a conflict to bring two parties together. Believers in 2017, regardless on your race, ethnicity, your background, your economic status, as believers, we are called not to be apart, but to bring parties together. Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing, nothing, nothing shall separate us. We are called to this reconciliation. Now watch what Paul does. I want to look at the ministry first for a minute. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us. So Paul was saying, listen, you don't get to pick and choose who can get saved. I believe that the gospel has the power to save the homosexual. And I believe that that same gospel can heal the prostitute. That same gospel has the power to bring sight to blind eyes. The same gospel has the power to heal the sick. That same gospel, why Paul said, I don't get to pick and choose who receives this ministry. He realized that he was for all people. And he says, this ministry is from God. Through Christ, he gave us the ministry. What happens when the ministry don't look like Jesus? If the ministry is not bringing people together, how is that a ministry? Here's why, because oftentimes what ministry is becoming more about buildings and not about people. Paul says, I'm called to the ministry. In other words, I'm called to serve people. Now what's happening is that you got to be careful. Sometimes we'll serve people to get something back in return. So I often tell people, before you get involved in this ministry of reconciliation, be careful, because pretty soon your motives will be exposed on why you're doing it. I want to say thank you, Malton, for assisting us with our Warming Hope Station. This year has been a powerful year, challenging year, and what God has called us to do at Vailsburg is to take what we don't have, but use what we do have. Does that make sense? When God calls you to ministry, he's not going to say, hey, let me give you everything first, and then you go ahead and go. No, he said, as you go, as you do, I will be your supply for everything. And when we go with the spirit of reconciliation, the ministry thrives. Because at the very heartbeat of God, it's people. It's people. Now let's look at the message. The message has to match the the ministry. The message doesn't change. But the way in which I serve must have the same message. Listen to what Paul says. Paul said, watch, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Let's pause it right there. Before Paul can carry on the message, he first had to receive the message. God, I want to do so much for you, God. I want to do so much. But God says, before you do so much, let me do a lot in you first. Let me come sit with me. Because when you get out there and you start speaking a message and giving a ministry, they're not going to receive it because you're a hypocrite. Oh. So what Paul says was this. He goes, therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. And watch what an ambassador does. We are the people that represent God. I don't want to be the reason why people are angry at Jesus. Gandhi said it best. I don't have a problem with Jesus. It's with his followers. We must be the message. Paul says this. Watch this. As though Christ was speaking through me. Could it be people have no problem with receiving Jesus? The problem is that it's coming through you. So that baby is testifying this morning. So I say, before I can give the message, let me be the message. He says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Come to God. Now, when they look at Paul, Paul says, hey, as you follow me, I'm following Christ. As the worship team comes, I love the third one. Because the third one deals with creativity. The goal is just people coming to Jesus. When I think of ministry, Pastor John, I do. I think of it as we're casting our nets. Casting the nets. Casting the nets. The problem may not be the nets. They have holes in them, just change them. The problem can be the method in which we're using. For example, if you come to Newark and you use the method, you have this message in your heart, ministry all fired up. If you come to people's house unannounced, good luck. Where I'm from, you call before you come. But I got this wonderful message. You're rude and inconsiderate. I don't want your message. You're like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Are you rejecting Jesus? No, they just rejecting this invitation because it's at the wrong time. The message, but the method. Visit churches that don't like change. Well, Pastor, we've been doing this for 90 years. Okay. Okay, that's great. Is it working? Yeah, it's working. Why ain't nobody here? Oh, because it's working for you. A vision is not people. And when your vision involves people, you got to go where they are. Watch this. This is crazy for me to talk like this. I thank God for the Church of Jesus Christ. I thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the ministry that can raise up our young people and our children and nursery workers and ushers and greeters. But let me just help you with this. That's great. And that has its place and it's awesome. You go back to the Old Testament, look at the Levitical law. I mean, you can look at it and oh my gosh, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the God than the, you know, I love that stuff. Absolutely. And the priests that were not allowed to let the flame go out. I mean, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. We got to go where people are. Now, here's this crazy idea I have. That wherever I go, the Holy Spirit says I'm with you. That I got this crazy idea that if I want people to be reconciled to God, I got to go where people are. All right. People that may not want your message. People that have a problem with the church. And people, I mean, just... Can I tell you something cool that God did? So cool. Blew my mind. We're ministering at a local school. God has given me just this open door of going into the schools, public schools. And I actually believe that Jesus lives inside of me. And I believe that I have a message that I'm carrying. It's like fire in my bones. And I need to be around people that need them. That's all. You may not know you need them, but I need to be that picture of Jesus. You may not understand it. You may not know the Bible, but I need to be that written letter. I need to be it. And so that way, when I come, watch, into an atmosphere, that atmosphere got to change. I believe that Christ in me can change the atmosphere. So they gave me this door to go up into this high school. You heard the testimony. I've been there for 2 years. And every time I'm there, see people getting touched. Their basketball team just won the state championship again. When Pastor John was there, he taught at that school, they never won. I said, well, what happened? That's because they put him on the freshman team. They should have elevated him to varsity, but I don't know what happened. Why did I say that? I don't know. I'm going there. They said, hey, Pastor. Hey, remember, method. Hey, Pastor, you want to do a cook-off? Man, I don't know how to cook. I think I know how to cook. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to cook. I said, a cook-off? Bring it on. I'm like, honey, I need your help. Honey, what am I going to make? My wife packed up the potatoes, the onions, the peppers. I said, honey, she said, baby, don't go there like that. I got to show you how to make it before. So when you get there, you got to say, honey, train me. Train me, honey. Bruh, I get there. I felt like I was like the chef of the year. I'm opening up the cans. I forgot to drain the stuff before I put it in the pot. And they caught it on tape. And they said, Pastor, I don't think you were supposed to put all that in that pot. I said, yes, I was. Yes, I was. The stuff came out so nasty. But what pastor participates in a cook-off? Fast forward quickly, please. My heart was to just see people get the gospel. If you wanted me to cook, I'll cook you. I'll paint. I'll pick up trash. I'll do whatever. Because my vision is to have you in heaven with me. That's it. Fast forward. They win the state championship. It's coming down to the end. I'm up in the bleachers. I'm saying, dear God, please let that shot go in. Because I already know if they win, we're going to have them back at our church to celebrate them. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying, dear Jesus, please come. Please come. And he missed 2 shots. I was like, darn it. I was praying. So I'm like, oh, man, I hope they don't have another prayer warrior on the other side because then we're going to battle. Came down again. Comes that freshman on the, freshman is at the line shooting 2. Hey, dear Jesus, there God in heaven. First one goes up, scores. Thank you, Jesus. We need one more. One more. That's all we need. One more. Lord, you're so good. They're like, oh my gosh, we won the state championship. I'm going, oh my gosh, we got more people coming to church. Hang on there. Got this crazy guy I've been raising up with me. He's just as crazy as I am. He goes, Mayo, this is hilarious. Hey, the guy said they want to eat at Rio. I said, who? Rio? We don't got no Rio money. You know where Rio, that's $32 per plate. I said, Father, Rio? I looked him dead in the face and said, man, I'll give him anything. Rio it is. I said, Lord, where is this coming from? Rio it is. I tried to like call some friends at a program. Oh, that's great, I'll be there. I'm like, no, you were supposed to pay for it so we could come and whatever. Missed the communique. I said, Lord, okay. He goes, hey, let's give him a banner too. I'm like, dang, banner too, that's $300. Okay, hoping it's, take him to Rio. Let's go, boys, let's go to Rio. Hope we got enough to pay for this. Banner's up. They walk in, you should have saw them. They're figuring, they're like, why are you guys doing this? These are young people that have gunshots flying over their heads as they walk to school. And here, somebody takes time and says, I see you. They come in and they go, all right, guys, hey, this is Thursday or Thursday night? Great. Hey, you guys got to come to church on Sunday because we got another gift for you. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. They all come to church. I got the administrator. Hey, remember Method. Hey, do you mind coming? Pastor Mayo, are you kidding me? You don't have to ask me twice. I'll be there. Muslim principal. Sunday morning, you have a Muslim principal saying, I don't know how Pastor Mayo did this. I know he's preaching the word of God in my school. I don't know how he's doing it, but it's having an impact. I'm just crazy enough to do what God's called me to do. And you ain't gonna believe what happened. The president of Google walks in. Shh, don't, that's what I said. So, whoop, whoop. Google, come on, Google. Where you want to sit at? Right here. Take all the seats if you want to. He comes up to me like this. Are you guys going to plaster a plate here or something? I said, absolutely. He goes, I heard what you did for the basketball team. And I want to sow into you. I said, well, thank you so much. Appreciate that. You know, I'm thinking big numbers. Google? I'm thinking, could it be that we can pay off the debt on this building? Could it be? I got big dreams. But I realized that's not what God wants. God says I can use a guy from Google or I can use a student in master's. God doesn't get all crazy about those things I do. But the check he wrote covered everything. Don't... Don't ever allow money to distract you from the message. Don't never allow finances to keep you from doing what God's calling you to do. Because as you operate in faith, watch this, and in the will of God, and do what God's called you to do, He'll back it up. Huh? He'll back it up. Here I am preaching the gospel to students that don't know Jesus. on a Sunday morning, watch, they would have never walked into our church. But if you don't say, God, give me the method. God, I'm not looking for a traditional method. Just give me a method. Get me by people. I'm convinced of this message. And I believe that people will stand before a holy God. And I believe that we're going to receive rewards. That's why I say, I don't care about only what I can see. My eyes is on what I can't see. Heaven is our reward. Come on, church. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? Maybe you're here today. And you've never received this ministry. God's method said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we can become. God was, God is, and he is to come so that you can become the righteousness of God.